I was invited to talk about breath prayer today. I know Katie is going to give us the details on all of it. Yes, she is. She's shaking her head. And we're really glad to have her here do that. I'm going to do a little intro because I did speak on it a few weeks back, but this is a little different. I gave my own personal insights last week. This is just more of a little outline of what breath prayer is. And I know you're all familiar with it because we've done it here for how many years? Several years. Somebody speaks about it. But I picked out a little excerpt from the book, Breath Prayer. If you don't have the book, if you're new to breath prayer, I really recommend that you get the book because it has a lot of devotions that you can use with your breath prayer, and I've really drawn on that. But I picked the one today about peace. Peace. We all want peace. And peace isn't found in hiding our feelings, but in turning our thoughts to Christ. You know, we can feel like we're doing that, but we can still not feel a sense of peace. And I think peace is what we all really seek every day. You know, just let there be peace, you know, amid all the chaos of life. And we all have these emotions that rise up out of that. And you can think of many emotions: fear, shame, sadness, grief, loneliness, panic, anger, and joy. And it's okay. We're made to have emotions. God made us that way. He's given us a gift of emotions so we can experience things fully. So when our emotions get out of hand, that we struggle and we get out of peace, so to speak. Strong emotions like anxiety or fear can really, and you can relate to this, can really focus on yourself. You're really thinking about your fear. You're thinking about your anxiety. It's all about me. How am I going to get through this? And actually, that drives us down into a spiral of downwardness because we're not pulling out away from that. Remember when Peter was walking on water in Matthew, the book of Matthew? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. But when he started to look around at the waves, he started to sink. So you can see the application there. When we let those waves of worry pour over us, we're going to sink into despair, depression, sorrow, sadness, and we just want to bail out. But when we turn our focus on Jesus, we get the perspective we need to work through our emotions. That was kind of new to me. I have to work through my emotions, and we really do. We have to work through them. Let yourself feel them, then think about them, but then turn all of that to Jesus and let him take them and take care of you in the process. So in the process of doing that, we draw closer to him. And I love the book Breath Prayer because it blends. A lot of people talk about breathing, and that's really important. You know how important that is to calm your body. But adding the scripture verses into that calms your spirit and it feeds your soul. So you get a full release. And it doesn't happen instantly. You know, I'm going to have my 2-minute breath prayer and then I'm going to feel good. It's a constant thing that we want to practice ongoing. You can do it anywhere. You can do it on the go. You can do it in your home. You can do it at church. I mean, you can do it here this morning. We're going to have some opportunities, I know, with Katie to do that. But it's a tool that we can use to find that peace that we're all seeking. And I recommend doing it every day if you can. It's like 3 to 5 minutes you can sit and breathe and pray. And I know most of us haven't had much time to do that this morning with rushing to get here. And I know a lot of you have sick kids today, so I know what a hassle that can be, and I remember it well. But I thought I'd just close this little segment with a prayer for all of you and for Katie as she speaks to us this morning. And I'm taking it from Isaiah 26:3. And if you don't pray the word of God, do try it. Take a scripture and personalize it. Put your name in it. Make it personal to you. And it focuses you on Jesus. And it's in the word of God, so it's his will. So Isaiah 26:3 says, "He will keep in perfect peace all who trust in him, all whose thoughts are fixed on him." So let's pray about that. Lord, I thank you for this scripture. I thank you for how you've used it in my life. And I pray, Lord, that we can keep it forefront in our mind as we pray. We take those quiet moments to inhale deeply and with our breath, to exhale, and to keep our thoughts on you, because we know that's where peace comes from, Lord. We can't make it happen, but you can. as we fix our thoughts on you. So I thank you, Lord, for what we're going to hear this morning from Katie. I know she has some insights, Lord, that she's going to share that will also be meaningful. And we just give it to you, Lord, now as she comes up. In Jesus' name, amen. Julianne's going to introduce.
Good morning, ladies. I am going to read a little introduction for Kate. Kate Sherritt has lived right here in San Clemente for the last 25 years. Together with her husband, Dave, they have navigated the wonderful, loud, sweaty, sandy, high-energy life of raising their five boys. When she's not at the grocery store trying to keep the fridge stocked, she loves to be active outside with her husband and family, swimming in the ocean, hiking around town, or up in the Sierras. One of her favorite places on earth is Yosemite. Kate loves Jesus, her husband, and her boys, and her new daughter-in-law. She loves people, singing, trying her hand at painting, and making sourdough bread. Yum. She likes her middle name, but if she could choose a middle name for herself, it would be Joy. She's on an endless pursuit to rid her floors of sand, and if you need a reminder of real life, just stop by her house, which she welcomes, and there will be plenty of dishes in the sink and socks on the floor. Can we not all relate to that? Today, she's going to share how she's learned about the gift of breath, both in her physical life and in her walk with Jesus. Taking it day by day, please welcome Kate Sherritt.
Hi, you guys. I'm Kate. I'm a little nervous to be here, and I'm super excited. Hold on while the tech things happen. You know when you think you charged your laptop the night before, and then you didn't? So I got here and I was charging it. Okay, I think I have enough juice. It is literally, you guys, I have just been praying for this time since Laura and I met, and just for God to give me a good word or a phrase or something to leave with you all today, and one that you can remember, and one that you can share with other moms in your own life, other friends in your own life, because in my experience, motherhood is much better played as a team sport. Am I right? It's a little surreal for me to be here because in my mind, I'm like 27 forever, and I should be in that seat right there with a baby on my lap and lots of spit up on my shoulder where I sat for 10 years. At the moms group that was called originally MOPS. Anybody? It changed to MomCo. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with that. And when I first started MOPS, or at that time it was called that, I was so hesitant to come because I thought I was going to be surrounded by professional moms, and I had barely left the house with my 12-week-old, and I was young, and I was really nervous to breastfeed in public because I didn't have any armrests on the chairs, and at home it was like a thing with like, do they still call them boppy pillows? Like, I had the, you know, it was just like, just so, and everything was just perfect, and, you know, like, coming here was like, how am I going to do this, and like, the tent drape thing, and, you know, so I get here, you guys, I get here, put my car seat down. Of course, Joshua starts to cry, and I pick him up. A big blowout diaper happens. I'm not even here 15 minutes. I still remember what I wore because it landed on me. And so I run to the bathroom, and I use my little travel wipey container, you know, that was designed by a person who's never had a baby with a blowout diaper. And I used, like, all eight of those. And then it was, like, toilet paper time, and I'm trying to clean him up. I come back. Breakfast is now cold. Speaker's already been introduced. And I'm just sitting there like a deer in headlights. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the thing I was most fearful of, to nurse him in public and figure that. I'm like, why is he still crying? I hadn't even like started nursing yet. So now I'm a hot mess. He's a hot mess. So that word, that phrase, I coined that phrase many years ago, back in 2003. Some of you were like, yeah, I was like 6 years old in 2003. So fast forward to 2013, I'm still here. I'm on baby number 5. And that was when I finally felt like I was like, you know what? I'm nursing with one hand and I'm eating this breakfast while it's hot in the other hand. Anybody? Okay, so it's true. The days are long and the years are short. I'm living that right now. It's crazy what they say. And it doesn't matter how many kids you have. It doesn't matter where you're from. That is universally true. So yes, in my little intro, this is my family. This is how it started. I can tell you the names. Joshua, Samuel in the orange pants, Andrew up top, Joe down below in the plaid, and baby Jacob. Okay, so this is how it started. Do you want to go to the next slide? This is how it's going. This is our new daughter-in-law, Allison, and she is such a gift. Oh my gosh, this was taken just this Christmas. Josh is on the end, Sam's in the black, Andrew's in the towel, Joe's in the other towel at the yellow, Jacob's on the end, Dave and I. And then this is how it felt. That was taken on the same day as that first picture, my neighbor that I was telling Mary about that has same age and stage of our kids. She took these photos, and so that's always kind of a fun reminder. But you guys, I just have to tell you, the wedding, oh, watching your kids get married, you're like, that's 100 years from now. But it is the most surreal thing. That's, oh yeah, I took a picture of a picture, me and my tech savviness. Anyway, so that was over at the State Bluff, lookout that overlooks Calafia. There's like a little grassy area. So they got married in town. It was so special. And they're just walking in stride. They just are. They're like, they're doing it. He's leading her. They love the Lord. And it's just so special. Ooh, the stories I could tell of raising these boys, and some of the women in this room know some of those stories. They're going to zip their lips and lock it. No, I'm just kidding. But one thing is for sure, being married 25 years this April, Dave and I have learned a lot, because sometimes we felt like we were nailing it, and sometimes we felt like we were failing it. And we've learned a lot about how different our kids are, how humbling and redeeming and beautiful and hard parenting can be. That's a whole separate talk. But God uses our experiences to shape us, doesn't he? And Connie just, like, literally, I feel like we can all go home, because Connie spoke a beautiful word today about breath. And so I had this crazy experience, and it sure has shaped me, and maybe some of you can relate, and that is panic attacks. In the Sherritt household, it's pretty full steam energy, right? Like, not a lot of downtime, and you can mix that with my, like, fairly tightly woundedness, and you just get a little full gear all the time, physically, mentally, emotionally. And in 2021, it really, really, really caught up with me, got the best of me. We were going to bed on vacation in Kauai, where you don't want this to happen, and I was hit hard with a panic attack out of nowhere. And you may or may not be very familiar with how they present. I sure wasn't. But it was like from another world, and it just hit me. It's like my adrenaline surged, my body felt warm, I was very, very, very breathless, dizzy, shaking. I didn't even want my husband to leave the room and go get me a glass of water, because I was afraid that when he got back, I would be gone. And the longer it went on, obviously, the more breathless I became. And that experience and a few other experiences with panic are kind of a little bit of the impetus for today's talk, because through the chaos of panic, like what Connie mentioned, I've learned the importance of breath and how it's helped me in more ways than one. So pause the panic attack story for a moment. We'll get back to that, because I want you to hold on to this word, breath. Beautiful, beautiful breath. It is the very first thing we look for in the delivery room. It's a marker of a body alive. It's universal and essential, and we need it, and it does so much for us physiologically, mentally, emotionally, and today where we're going, spiritually. And my dorky science brain is like exploding inside, because this is the part of the talk that I get to tell you that oxygen is like incredible for our bodies, like on a base level. If it did nothing else, it helps us to move and helps us to think. You take a breath in. Oxygen goes all over the body, thank you, Lord, and it goes into our muscle cells. If oxygen did not touch our muscle cells, they would not have the ability to expand and contract. So picture people on a subway waiting to get off, and people on a subway waiting to get on, and the only way to open that door would be oxygen. So in order for those two items to switch in a muscle cell, the sodium and the potassium, the door has to be open, and oxygen is what does that in each muscle cell. And then the subway moves along the station, right? We have a contraction. That's amazing, like just movement. Oxygen helps us to think. Literally, you take a breath in. Thank you, Lord, that it goes everywhere in my body. It goes right up to your brainstem. It ignites these nerve cells, these brain cells. And brain cells are really cool shaped because they're bundled at one end. And then they have this like stem, and then they have this branch at the end. And so oxygen just like hits this bundle, and then it goes along the stream, and then it expands to this branch, and each of those branches hits another bundle and another branch. You know, it's just, and it's lightning speed, right? That happens, that chain reaction happens because of oxygen. It's incredible. It helps our parasympathetic nervous system, big buzzword right now, right? As we all think about ways to level our hormones and bring our stress and anxiety down, that's where that lives in our parasympathetic nervous system. Helps our pain management. Breath helps us to detoxify. It helps us to digest. It helps us in our pain management. It keeps us calm. It's so, so good. And here's the last part of the dorky science part. It operates, like breath lives in the involuntary section of our world, where a blink lives, like where a swallow lives, where digestion lives. We don't like tell our body to do that. It just happens. But here's the best part about breath. It is both something that we can control consciously and can happen unconsciously. So we can actually tell our bodies to breathe slow and deep after they've been rapid and fast. Does that make sense? We can't tell our heart rate, like, slow down, heart rate. That happens after we have a conscious thought of our breath slowing down. So, and normally it returns right back to a nice, happy rhythm, right? Everybody's got their own beat in their own body, right? Until something happens, something unexpected, something emotionally big, something that takes us by surprise, and then all of a sudden we're out of it, and all of a sudden we need more, right? Have you been there? So, then we're desperate, because when we're panicked, we need more. When we're really stressed out, we rapidly need more. I mean, we would do anything for another breath sometimes. I personally have been there. And the backside of this incredible coin of breath and how much it does for us, the backside of that is that when we don't have enough of it, it causes a lot of harm, right? When we get scared, we need breath. When we're frustrated, when we're taken by surprise, when we're panicked, when we're obsessing over something or like replaying a conversation in our mind that we wish we hadn't spoken those words or whatever, when we're injured, you know, you bang your elbow, what's the first thing you do? Right? You hold your breath. When you're devastated about something, you hold your breath. And in these instances, we all can quickly realize, and I think we would all agree, that breath holding is not sustainable. So thank you, God, for the medical world and how much research has happened and how much has come to the surface. I mean, I'm so glad to hear the reference to that book. We're actually going to raffle one off today because there has been so much evidence. And maybe we just kind of all needed a place for this to be put and to be gathered and for us to go, yes, that, because I think we all know we need it. But to really see the benefits behind something, we go, I'm in. So these breathwork skills that I learned post-panic attacks are not an end-all, be-all cure. I don't stand up here to say, like, you know, a little this and life's going to just be fine at all. So I don't pretend to know where you're at with that. And I want to be sensitive to that because it's not like all you have to do is this, right? But they have helped me get my body back into a normal rhythm. And maybe I am the very last one to the party because maybe you guys, it sounds like you guys have really been exploring breath work. And I think I read the schedule wrong because when we were talking about a date, somehow, like, you know, you guys have like a moment of something before the speaker comes up, like you guys have done crafts or, you know, you've had somebody talk about some, I don't know, what you've had happen before a speaker comes up. And I was like, oh, breathwork. Oh, cool. And so it sounds like that was last week. Was that really last week? Are you guys like, yawn? We've already heard this. Anyway, if that's the case, you know, sometimes twice is nice, right? But I just thought for illustration point and connection point, even a chance to talk to your tables about this afterward. To give you four that have really helped me, the first one is box breathing. Have you guys heard of that? Where you trace a box visually in your mind and you inhale for four counts, you hold that breath for four counts, you exhale for four counts, and then you hold that for four counts. So that's the first one. And what are you focusing on? The box and tracing the box. So you're like this. And you start again. And you can do it 20 times. You can do it 50 times. You can do it one time. The next one is flowers and birthday cake. And again, the idea is that you're thinking about something beautiful, and then you're thinking about something fun. So you are thinking of your most beautiful flower, a dahlia in my case, and you inhale that flower. And you exhale the birthday cake. I'm still going because I have a lot of candles on my birthday cake. The next one is umbrella breath, where your body, your spine is kind of like the stalk of an umbrella, and an umbrella opens all at the same time, right? Like the front, the back, the sides of the umbrella go up and out at the same time. So you picture your ribs and your sides and your back all expanding at the same time. And so that to me feels like a very long, deep, full breath, just belly and chest together. And then closing it all at the same time. That's a great visual. And the last one that really helped me when I finished telling you about my story is stacked breath. And that's where you basically stack your breath. You don't even have an inhale between breaths. I'm sorry, you don't even have an exhale between breaths. You stack a breath. And then you exhale. And sometimes I only get two stacks. Sometimes I get four stacks. Depends on kind of where I'm at. And these tools, what was also said this morning too, they can really, truly help us in times where we are panicked about something with our kids, when we're sleepless, when we are really overwhelmed, when we need just restoration. They remind us to slow down and take a beat and to breathe deep. And they get our focus off the stressor. And they get our focus on the source of the breath. So how in the world could breath work apply to us as moms? And where are we going with this spiritually? You guys, I'm really glad you asked, because, I mean, it's music to my ears. Just like physical breath work, we need spiritual breath. What does that mean? Right? To take a physical breath, we must actually inhale. And the same is true for taking a spiritual breath. And in this case, what I'm referring to that as is God and our source, right? His word, time and prayer. There has to be action on our part in order for us to really reap those benefits of our spiritual oxygen take, right? By filling that up. So I want you to picture an airplane flight, and you all know where I'm going with this, right? We get on, and we're taxiing out, and the flight attendant comes on, and what do they say? Right? Should there be a sudden loss of cabin pressure, the oxygen mask will deploy from the ceiling in front of you. And then what? What are we supposed to do? Put it on ourselves first, right? Every single flight, they say that, right? Why? I think it's because we need reminding. But also to help us, if we have it on, then it helps us help them, whoever them is, right? And a flight attendant once said to Dave and I, this was like, whoa. She was like, well, you guys are traveling with the whole basketball team. Just flip a coin. Like, whoever you want to put the mask, help the mask first. We were like, okay, that's really reassuring. But it gives us the ability to help whoever's next to us. It allows us to help who's next to us. And it equips us to help who's next to us, right? And sometimes our real life knee-jerk reaction is to, like, swap the mask out of the way, reach across the aisle, grab our kid, muscle through it, hold on, you know, and try our best. But to really help them, we have to put the mask on, right? Because if that cabin pressure drops, we know we have a source of oxygen coming in, and we are able to help. And we're not passing out, we're not keeling over, which is what happens when there's oxygen deprivation on a flight like that. I have a son who's becoming a pilot right now, and so that's a very front and center thing on my brain right now. But let's look at this from a spiritual lens, because being connected to that mask, that source, God and his word, is vital. And that's not new news, but it's sometimes so important to rehear that, because those are our spiritual breaths, being connected to God somehow through his word and in prayer. We have this incredible spiritual oxygen mask hanging from the seat in front of us with an endless supply of spiritual oxygen, God and his word, that does give us life-giving spiritual breaths to help us in this gig, on this flight, to really take the analogy home, right? This flight of life. So that way we can help our kiddos and be equipped as they're in the seat next to us. And we get stoked at the chance to work on things in our life physically, don't we? Like, yes, more protein, right? I can do 12 minutes of cardio a day. That's so, cook with organic bone broth. I already am, right? Actually, no, I'm not, but... teach me breathing trick, you know, skills, tools, all that, right? I am so in, right? All that stuff is so, that those are like physical aids, right? And like almost from like a physical oxygen mask standpoint. And those are fantastic. In fact, I'm up here like cheering for those and sharing with you how those have really, really, really helped me. But what my heart is that you can see how vital it is to touch that layer below the physical and to get to that spiritual layer and to see how important those things are as well. Because the truth is, this source of oxygen, God and his word, are what we need. And my hope is that you can see that these benefits of spiritual breath work and encouragements in those in our everyday life, those are not just like, that felt great. Those are life-giving. Spiritual breath work is endless because it's for eternity, right? It allows us, equips us to connect to God, and that way we can help those that are next to us. So God and his word are here, and they are here for us, and they are exactly what we need. But sometimes, dang, like the mask is hard to put on. And maybe it's because we don't know that that's actually helpful. Can I trust God's word? We forget it's necessary. We're too busy. We're too stubborn. We kind of want to muscle through it. I just want to kind of figure this out on my own. I've done fine so far. Why do I need to put this mask on, right? Right? Or do we trust that there's actually spiritual oxygen flowing because we don't see the bag inflating? You know how they tell you that on a flight? And sometimes it's hard to understand. How do we put this thing on? How do we understand the scripture? How does it fit? How does that apply to my life, right? The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. And that's pretty much the best summary statement ever. His divine power has given us everything we need. I could walk out right now. It's like, end, period, drop mic. And it's just so easy to fill our lives with all these other things that we think we need. But it's him and it's his word. When God made man and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, as Genesis says, it wasn't a wave of God's wand. It was not a touch. It wasn't a song or a whisper. It was a breath. So right away we can see that's God's idea. He invented it. It's his conduit that he uses to make us alive, right? His very name in Hebrew, Yahweh, broken down, is like an inhale in, the Yah, and the way is like an exhale out. I do not think that's on accident. And I think the Israelites were able to connect to this breath, this idea of breath, because the word in Hebrew for breath, I'm going to botch it, but my best attempt is the word ruach. That is the same as the translation for the word spirit. And it's all over scripture, this connection to breath and spirit. And it's like, here, daughter, take this. Take my breath and drink it in. Let me fill you, right? So that you can see that I'm the wisdom giver, the discerner, the comforter, as scripture calls God's spirit. Moms, this picture of God's breath and his spirit, it needs to just be captured like a Polaroid camera where it just prints out instantly, right? And you just have it. You can shake it like the song says, right? And you can put on your bulletin board and remember it, because we need reminding that his breath is in us and his spirit is in us. We have him. He is in us and through us and with us in everything, God says. There is a psalm that I just actually put in my talk this morning because it was in my quiet time this morning, and I was like, this is so good. Psalm 143:10 says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." Don't we need that as moms? At a base level, I think we would probably all raise our hands and say, yes, I'm not in control. Yes, God created me. Right? Those are things we would probably all be able to come to the table and agree on. But sometimes we leave it there, right? Like on most flights, does the oxygen mask deploy? Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't. So it's only for a crisis, right? Right? I mean, I get that. Like, maybe we should only turn to God's word when we desperately need it. Well, I would argue no, because in the everyday life, we don't operate in full steam crisis. At least that's not the goal, right? We want to operate in kind of a normal cadence. And so why does a spiritual oxygen mask and time with God even matter, right? If things are kind of in homeostasis, you're saying it's kind of in this desperate measure type of a mode, right? Well, we wouldn't need help, reassurance, direction, discernment, comfort, peace, wisdom, a safe place to doubt, admit, confess, or feel that dependence if life were perfect. Tell me in what world that day exists. You know, that day where our babies are just completely obedient and they've cleaned up the first time and we have just joined our hearts and wind in our sails because we're completely well rested because they've slept amazing. And we love the way we look and feel about ourselves. And we're just really happy with our style because our style is rad. And I have full confidence in that, right? And we're not worried about what other people think at all. We've communicated beautifully with our spouse. And we're totally in lockstep and agree with every idea that he has. And our homes are organized. And, you know, those perfect days, right? But back on planet Earth, where real life awaits us, and we get in that rut and we grumble, and we compare, and we worry, and we have a lack of sleep, and we feel unseen by others, and we don't want to open up because we've been hurt, and our disobedient monsters are driving us up the walls, and we disagree with our husbands, and we feel behind on everything, and we feel discouraged in friendships, we feel insecure. That's real life. There it is, plain and simple. And it has plenty of sin and unbrokenness all around it. And don't we want help in that? Don't we need help in that? And that is why the spiritual oxygen mask is not crisis-driven. It's everyday-driven, right? Because on those normal days, we often forget to, don't want to, don't have time to, don't know how to, put on that spiritual oxygen mask to go back to God's word and take a breath of his truth. And so just like different breathing techniques, like the stacked breath and the birthday cake and the umbrellas, just like those can be really, really, really beneficial for us physically, there are different ways that we can fill our spiritual oxygen tank and practice spiritual breaths. And like I said, they're not new, but they're a little hard sometimes, and they're essential. And they are getting into God's word and prayer. So, back to the panic attack, Kauai. I slowly recover that night. I think I got about an hour of sleep. I woke up the next day feeling like I had run 6 marathons back to back. I was so exhausted. We wrap up the trip, and life sort of returned to normal. We sent our oldest off to college that fall. I was still homeschooling because COVID was we were just coming out of it, and schools were very, you know, like some schools were meeting in person, some schools weren't meeting in person. So we homeschooled that fall. We got into a pretty good rhythm of the school year. And then out of the clear blue again, another panic attack happened. I was grading one of our son's science tests at home and just bam. And this time it was in front of our kids. And this time they didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. My husband wasn't home. First responders got involved, and long story short, okay, that's actually, I'm impossible at a long story short, like long story long, I realized after I healed from that experience, I realized, gosh, something must be going on in me. Like, what am I not dealing with? Like, all right, I can do this, right? I can unpack, I can be real with people, I can be vulnerable. I need to do this. So I just reached out for help to a lot of just friends. I have a friend who is a marriage and family counselor. I have a friend who's a physical therapist. And God was so gracious to put these people in my life to help me unpack what was going on. And one friend who is my physical therapy friend, she just happened to be getting these certifications having to deal with just our brain and how we manage pain and panic attacks. And she shared the benefit of breath work. I had never heard of it before. Remember, this is back in 2021. And she was attending these webinars from this doctor and had a podcast of his. So she sent me the podcast. It was the very first podcast I ever listened to, stepped into the technological world. And so I put in my AirPods, which were brand new, and went for a walk in the state park campground. And I'm listening to this doctor talk, and it was just one of, have you ever had one of those moments where you're like, everything this person is saying right now is just resonating with me, and I was just locked in to what he was saying. And he explained breath work. I mean, it was about an hour-long podcast. And obviously, I mean, I touched like surface level of, you know, that's about as deep as my knowledge goes on it. But he really went into the physiological benefits of breath work. And so there I was, just literally on this trail in the state park campground. I stopped and I was like, I'm going to try this right now. I'm just going to do this. And so I stood there and I did the stacked breath. And I'm literally in these, there's like, I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's this little trail up at the top by these eucalyptus trees. And I would just remember inhaling the smell of the eucalyptus. So that was 5 years ago. And slowly over time, like, and Connie mentioned this too, turning that into practice and to kind of like preload that and preemptive, be proactive with that is such a key with breath work for our physiological bodies. When we can picture something that we can just pull out of our back pocket right away, it is so helpful. And so as I learned it that day and started implementing breath work into my life day in, day out, like sometimes I do it after I exercise, sometimes I do it when I'm sleepless at night, sometimes when I'm in the morning and I'm waiting for, oh my gosh, you guys, we have the best coffee maker in the entire world for my husband, for like, thanks for working for us for 25 years, we got this amazing coffee maker. So while I'm waiting for that, sometimes I'll just like work on some breath, you know? It doesn't have to be, you know, like she even mentioned, it doesn't have to be fancy, it doesn't have to be long, right? But the hope here that I just want to encourage you with today is to look at spiritual breathwork and physical breathwork just kind of from that same angle of being proactive, taking the time, fill up the tank, right? So that, because it's not the time to practice in the moment. In the moment, we have to be able to have it. When you need to give wisdom to your kid, when you need to encourage a friend, when you need reassurance that you are loved by your Heavenly Father, isn't it so nice to have something come to mind from His Word that reminds us of that, right? Because sometimes our own truths, right, we can't stand on those. We can stand on God's truth. I tried so hard as a young mom to do it on my own. I really, 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 really did. And there are women in this room that graciously watched me grow. Because I could be pretty short-tempered, hold the line with my kids like crazy. I could argue that I was parenting the best way, but sometimes that way was out of anger and from a posture where I was just exasperated. I would be super comparative to other moms and how they were doing it, or compare and be like, oh yeah, I'm like nailing it. Do you know? Like judgment, right? I would be discouraged. Then I'd feel dissatisfied. Of course I can't take my kids to Knott's because I have a freaking basketball team and they have two. And so they get to just push their little stroller and their toddler holds their hand and they can just navigate that really well. Of course I can't. Like I would compare in both ways, right? Where I would feel discouraged and then I'd feel awesome, you know? Wrong way to do that. It happens and it's real. But I can honestly stand up here and say that the more time I spent working on my spiritual breath work, spending time in God's word, being humble in prayer, taking a breath of prayer, the more I saw that God was for me. Jesus did love me. He was here to give me new mercies every morning to help me see this thing called parenting through and to go the distance and to play the long game, right? So I had to really take a deep look at where I was at spiritually as a mom and how connected I was to the source. I mean, was I spending time with God? Was I? And like I literally did on that walk with that podcast, sometimes you kind of just have to like stop and go, okay, I'm going to start. I'm just going to try this, right? And sometimes it's God teach me where to start. I don't know, right? So it's not like I'm up here going, all you need to do is just breathe in Jesus and life's just going to be fine, right? I'm not up here saying that God does not promise that spending time with him equals promises go away, right? Just like poof, they're gone, like everything in my fridge, right? But he does promise to help us in this life, be there with us in this life, and teach us through this life. And I am boldly going to say that if we are not connected to that source, right, we will only be depleted, we will be desperate, we will be exasperated, and we're only going to feel like we're just muscling through it. I think one of the greatest gifts God gives us in spending time with him is the gift of joy in like the everyday, right? Life is pretty every day. So I don't want you to think that I am standing up here just leading a life of breathing in Jesus at all the right moments, right? Life is hard for all of us. And if I sat down with each one of you and we connected, we would probably have a lot in common, right? Our family, our crazy trained family has had life-changing injuries, arguments that have lasted way too long. We delivered a baby that went straight to Jesus's arms. We have had stretched finances. We've had tough marital seasons. We've had terrible brother fights where you guys would probably think that that's the family training the next generation of MMA fighters. We have had rejection in friendships. We've had major losses. We've had questions about the justice and the fairness of God, right? But spending time with God is a reassurance that he is there to see us through it. I cannot tell you how many times I've literally on the go been like, God, help me in this. God, I don't even know what to say to my kid who just yelled at me in the middle of Target. Just help me, or I don't even want to right now. And so sometimes it's just a quick breath from that source, like putting on the oxygen mask. And if we can spend some time in God's word, those breaths come quicker. So I just wanted to read a few scriptures over you, because one way to practice spiritual breath is just spending time in God's word. So let this breath of assurance just wash over you. Come to me, Lord, for I am weary and burdened, and I know that you will give me rest. You take my yoke upon you, and I can learn from you. For you are gentle and humble in heart, Lord. And I know I will find rest for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And that's from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Or take in this breath of comfort. Lord, you tend your flock like a shepherd. You gather the lambs in your arms and you carry them close to your heart. Will you gently lead me because I have young? And that's from Isaiah 40, 11. And sometimes, I mean, maybe we just all need to unite on a breath of honesty. This is a great one. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why does it seem like you hide yourself in times of trouble? And that's from Psalm 10, 1. God's okay with us being honest, right? And here's the thing. I know that sometimes all we have time for is a very, very, very quick breath. And so another way that you can practice spiritual breaths is just by prayer. I got this new book, which we're going to be raffling off in a little minute, and it was really cool because Laura said that she's been using this too, and it's called Breath is Prayer. It's by Jennifer Tucker. And in the foreword, it says, when life leaves us gasping for air, prayer is how you can grasp the steadying, sure hand of God. And that is a great picture, right? Something like this. A deep inhale. You can practice this with me. Inhale and go, Jesus, and exhale, oh, you have my attention. Here's another one. Breathe in with me like this. I'm going to breathe in. Lord, you are our shepherd. And exhale, we have everything we need. And here's one more. Inhale nice and deep. I do not know what to do, Lord. But exhale, my eyes are on you. And those are taken from scripture, girls. Just wait, pause, breathe, and see what God will do in those breaths. We want so badly to teach our kids so much, don't we? We want to teach them how to walk and talk and sleep well at nighttime. And we want to teach them how to match the word red to the color red. And we want to teach them how to ride a bike and kick a ball and swim in the ocean and play the piano and play well with others and not to hit and be a helper and listen when we call their name and know the difference of the tone of our voice. We want to teach them how to look somebody in the eye and obey those in authority and not to eat sand. Did you hear me say I have plenty of sand on my floor at my house? It's just there forever. It's just there. And we also just want to teach them for the love to remember where they left their blank sweatshirt, socks, shoes. I think we have clothed all of San Clemente. I think like all of our children's clothes are on the beaches in San Clemente. We want to show our kiddos so much and we get to, right? Let's show them that we are also moms who know we are loved by God and depending on Him for our literal breath. That way we can teach them that they are loved by a great big God as well, right? We want to teach them so much, and as their mama, we get to. And it's an honor, but in order to do that, we have to have enough breath. So let's do that. Right? Let's start. I started by saying that motherhood is best played as a team sport. So talk to each other as you guys go into discussion. Remember, we need our lungs filled with fresh, sustainable, pure, life-giving breath. Let's pray. God, thank you so, so much just for being our source. Thank you for each family represented here, God. Thank you. Oh, I'm just flooded with emotion that you call us each by name, our kids' names. And Lord, you do not leave us on an island by ourselves. We get to play this awesome gig of motherhood with others, Lord. Thank you for the honor that we have of being moms. I pray that you fill us each
up. With your word anew, help it to make sense. Help us to apply it. Help us to reflect you to others and to our kids, Lord. Remind us that breathing in you is only going to fill us up more. Remind us that you are the source, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.